from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeedy. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willigham will take you up to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time the night before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Jam-packed program for you coming up top of the 8 o'clock hour. At about 8:15, we'll be joined by our pal J.P. Acosta of SB Nation to take a quick spin around the National Football League. NFL training camp getting ready to open up. Teams reporting as early as next weekend. So things in full swing when it comes to the National Football League. The Commanders have their rookies report 1 week from today, next Thursday on the 18th. So we'll ask J.P. Acosta his thoughts on all the hot button topics of the National Football League as we get geared up for training camp. We'll get a live look out at the 2024 Wizards Summer League team from out in Vegas. Our pal Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network set to join us at 9 o'clock to discuss that. And the Wizards made a pretty big signing last night. If not a lot of you got the opportunity to see it, it felt like it kind of went under the radar. The Wizards agreeing to terms on a 3-year deal with 3-and-D guy Sadiq Bey. He's not going to be available, though, for the Wizards at the start of next season. He is recovering from an ACL tear. But I was initially shocked to see the deal done simply because it felt like, to this point, Washington was done outright signing free agents, right? Jonas Valanciunas was the big one that they were able to acquire. You obviously got Malcolm Brogdon in the Danny Avdija deal. So it felt as if Washington was done, but they come out and make a move yesterday that it feels like, based on the conversation on Twitter, that a lot of you have mixed feelings about the Sadiq Bey signing in reference to Danny Avdija being traded. We'll touch on all of that before we get out of here, but as I mentioned, 9 o'clock, our pal Chase Hughes set to join the program. Now, Grant and Danny had an abbreviated show today because of the woeful Washington Nationals. Really just struggling right now. Losers of 13 out of their last 17. Mackenzie Gore struggling big time. And where they're at right now at this point in the season, there is no choice but to sell. And I feel like I've been the bearer of bad news. I've been the guy that said, hey, look, while we're excited about a potential playoff berth, while we're excited about being, you know, 3 games out of the final wild card spot, in reality, the more important thing for this group is to, one, continue to see what they have with the young arms in this rotation, and Mackenzie Gore, obviously a part of that. Two, you're interested in and invested in James Wood and what he's able to do coming up from the bigs. Didn't make a whole lot of contact last night, but exit velo on some of these balls that he hit, or some of the foul balls that he hit last night was rather impressive. So, like, that stuff is more important to me. The future of this group, more important to me than flirting with the National League wildcard race. And as I've said through this entire process, there's 6, 7, 8 teams right now that are all within 5 or 6 games of that final wildcard spot. And if you're the Nationals, if you're Mike Rizzo and company, you got to say, look, while it was fun that we were as competitive as we were during the first half of the season, after losing 13 of 17, is pretty evident that this group just isn't ready yet. And that's okay, because you have the opportunity to continue to replenish your farm system by moving off of a guy like Jesse Winker, moving off of a Lane Thomas, a Kyle Finnegan. Can you get someone to take Hunter Harvey off of your hands? It is all good. I know it stinks right now. I know they haven't been very competitive here within the last couple of weeks, but it's all for 2025 when we talk about the Washington Nationals. Speaking of Major League Baseball, we'll touch on this in more detail as the hour rolls on. But Paul Skeens, the rookie phenom for the Pittsburgh Pirates, pulled today in the midst of a no-hitter. And based on some of the conversation on social media, probably was a bad decision. Paul Skeens struck out 11 in 7 no-hit innings against the Milwaukee Brewers earlier this afternoon. He threw 99 pitches, 65 of those coming for strikes. And this doesn't even it doesn't even sound real when you read it. Paul Skeens has an ERA of 1.90 through his first 11 starts in the majors. He has been absolutely incredible. But the conversation today is the fact that Colin Holderman replaces Paul Skeens in the eighth inning. And a lot of folks were pretty upset by that, man. And I get it. He had the opportunity to make history today. He's arguably the biggest draw right now in Major League Baseball. I think Major League Baseball got it right with him being in the All-Star game. I think he should be the starting pitcher for the National League, but that's here nor there. We'll see what happens with that. But we'll discuss that decision in more detail as the show rolls on. But I wanted to touch on that because people are hot and bothered. And initially, like, my stance always when a pitcher gets pulled early is, look, especially a young guy like Paul Skeens, preserve the arm. Understand that, hey, look, it's not about this year for Paul Skeens and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Throwing a no-hitter, while it's a great accolade, I don't know how many rookie pitchers have done that in the history of Major League Baseball, but it would have been a hell of a feat. But I understand, I guess, the decision by the Pittsburgh Pirates to pull the phenom Paul Skeens after his dominant start earlier this afternoon. Something that I was checking out last night, I know it's made its rounds on social media. Some of you are absolute freakazoids and have nothing better to do with your time, so you were able to binge watch the new Netflix series Receivers, where they follow Devontae Adams, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Amon-Ra St. Brown. They follow him, follow those guys throughout the season this past year, and got some really good insight into, one, just how damn difficult it is to not just be a National Football League player, but to be a good National Football League player. That stuff is hard. And I think, based on what I'm seeing on social media and my own personal feelings, I have absolutely fallen in love with Amon-Ra St. Brown here in the last 24 hours or so since Receiver came out on Netflix. Played with a torn oblique last year, had to play through hand, foot, and mouth disease. And for a guy that was just a third-round pick, early fourth-round pick, he plays with that chip on his shoulders. And if you're wondering why the Detroit Lions have been able to turn things around so quickly and why I'm so adamant about culture and why I'm so big on Washington having that go-getter culture in the building, it accelerates your rebuild and everyone begins to take on that mentality. And the Detroit Lions play like Amon-Ra St. Brown. They all play like they have a chip on their shoulder. And I thought they put it beautifully last night in the documentary. The Lions went into 2023 believing that they could win every game. And I think that was not the case. Obviously, well documented, their 1-5 start the year before. They finished strong down the stretch. And then last year was really their coming out party. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, a huge part of that, battling through injury en route to a career high season. It's super impressive to watch what he's been able to do. We'll touch on that Netflix doc in more detail as the show rolls on. Another thing I got to watch last night, this is that time of year, right? Summertime, no NBA games going on right now. Summer League is happening, but we don't really pay too much attention to that unless it's Bronny or the Wizards, right? But USA Basketball, teaming up out in Vegas, took on Canada last night. And before I even got the opportunity to look at this from the standpoint of basketball, right, acknowledging Steph Curry, LeBron, Anthony Edwards all playing on the same floor together, before I even got the opportunity to acknowledge that, the broadcast tandem last night on FS1, my guy Gus Johnson, who we all know for his great calls when it comes to college football, right? And him calling Big Ten games has been absolutely phenomenal over the past couple of seasons, and a Howard University graduate, so he's got local ties to this area as well. He was brilliant last night. And I always blank, and if you can call in at 1-800-636-1067, if you can remind me of the color analyst's name from last night. He's on the broadcast for CBS in the Final Four. He calls the Final Four championship games with Iron Eagle and Grant Hill. I can't think of the color guy's name. Badass. Really giving you the moment, making you feel like you're there. And for an exhibition game to have as much energy as it had last night was great, man. And I think it shows you the care level that I think the country has when it comes to USA basketball, even though we all know they're going to win gold. And if they don't come back. But seriously, like, to see the arena sold out, and I guess if I had the means to do it, I'd want to be there as well. Because as I mentioned, you get to see LeBron and Steph Curry and Jason Tatum and Anthony Davis and all your favorite stars across the league team up for the first time. It was awesome to see. Barack Obama was there last night. Metal Chris, I don't know if you got the chance to watch any of this last night. The old Key and Peele skit where they dap up, the old dap up scene. That's what it was like last night for President Obama, who was a celebrity in the building. And I think it's awesome to see him out living a regular, normal human life, taking in some good, you know, FIBA basketball. But it was awesome to see. It was awesome to see just how giddy. I think it was a group of like Sean Marion, Dwayne Wade, Vince Carter. Guys, geek the hell up to stand next to President Obama. And I understand why. I'd be geeked up as well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. As I mentioned, we got plenty to get to. Top of the 8 o'clock hour, our pal JP Acosta from SB Nation is set to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the National Football League as we sit here about a week out from all teams reporting for NFL training camp. Speaking of NFL training camp, top of the 7 o'clock hour, we'll get to this. The wide receiver group for the Washington Commanders has been under tremendous duress, it feels like, throughout the entirety of this offseason, from how good is Terry McLaurin to will Jahan Dotson bounce back, etc. Top of the 7 o'clock hour, the insiders at ESPN ranked Washington skill group in terms of running back, wide receiver, and tight end. You'll be stunned, or maybe not, to see where ESPN's insiders rank that group. We'll get to that at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Before we hit the quick timeout and break, though, I wanted to get to this, and I don't know, Chris, your thought and opinion on this. Kawhi Leonard opting out of Team USA, and it was sent home, and there was a statement that they put out yesterday saying that it was Team USA that recommended that Kawhi did this, whatever, dealing with the same knee inflammation that cost him two series in the postseason for the LA Clippers. They replaced Kawhi Leonard with NBA champion Derek White of the Boston Celtics. Now, the big conversation in Scuttlebutt online is that, look, how in the hell do you replace Kawhi Leonard with Derek White when you could have chosen Jaylen Brown or anybody else for that matter, right? Kyrie Irving is still at home. There are a bevy of different guards that were available to fill that spot. In Team USA choosing to go another way, maybe I'm ignorant. Maybe I don't understand the FIBA game. Let's cut the crap, right? In all actuality, what's most important? You want to bring home gold, right? How do you do that? You assemble the most talented roster possible. All I keep seeing is, Derek White being a better fit, and, Derek White's plus minus. But I could give a rat's ass about any of that. There are politics going on with this. Jaylen Brown has been pretty vocal on social media in terms of why he got snubbed. Now, looking at it from that other angle,
You know why Kyrie didn't make it, though.
Well, because
his attitude.
The attitude and the affiliation that Nike basketball has with him and their relationship and the way that it's soured here over the past couple of seasons.
But also, he doesn't work with certain players so well, and you don't want to bring that to the Team USA.
Well, LeBron's there. As long as LeBron's there, you're going to get the best version of Kyrie Irving. And I think he's put those narratives to bed based on how he and Luka have been able to team up and pair this postseason. I thought those narratives were put to bed in terms of him being a bad apple and, you know, guys not being able to play with him. But my big premise is this. Put the best players on the roster. It's not rocket science, right? It just is what it is at this point.
But that hasn't always worked for Team USA, and they've been embarrassed when they've just built a team based on talent and not who can play together.
For sure.
So, I mean, you got to take that into account. They don't want to get embarrassed again.
For sure. Well, if you saw the opening moments of last, and I think Team USA had like 8 turnovers in the first quarter. So there were struggles, and Canada's obviously one of the favorites for that silver medal because of all of the big-time NBA talent.
That Steph and LeBron was amazing, though.
That's one of those moments, though. Seriously, that's one of those moments that, like, people are going to screen grab and put on their damn refrigerator and say, hey, look, son, this was LeBron James and Stephen Curry playing together. Arguably, right? Talking about Bron and Steph, two of the most influential guys in the NBA here in the 2000s. So for that to be a thing, that's why I was sold out last night at the Thomas & Mack Center. It was great. But all in all, man, the whole argument for Derek White is that, oh, the role that he's going to play for Team USA is, you know, very similar to the role that he played with the Boston Celtics during the regular season, during the playoffs. I get that. But, like, in no world am I choosing Derek White over Jaylen Brown. There's a reason you got Eric Spoelstra, Steve Kerr, and Mark Few on the damn bench. Put your foot down. If you don't think that you can get Jaylen Brown to fit in to USA basketball's culture and to play the way that they're supposed to play, then sit his ass on the bench. So if that's playing into the decision and it's more about the way the personality would fit and it's not about X's and O's, then, like, okay, Jaylen Brown has a lot bigger problems than not being on the Team USA roster. But at the end of the day, like, if it's just a talent thing, come on. Jaylen Brown's the better player 10 times out of 10, 7 days out of the week, and twice on Sundays. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take our first time out of the night. As I mentioned, the ESPN insiders ranked Washington skill group when it comes to wide receiver, tight end, and running back against the field in the National Football League. You'll be stunned to see where Washington skill group ranked. We'll give you those rankings next here on The Fan.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Just getting rolling here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Programming note, coming up in about an hour or so, our pal JP Acosta, who covers the National Football League for SB Nation. He is set to join us. We'll take a spin around the NFL as we get geared up for NFL training camp. My absolute favorite time of the year. I'm thrilled that we're finally here and we don't have to talk about things that don't matter and pretend like we care about anything else other than the National Football League. So I'm happy to do that at about 8:20 with our pal JP Acosta. As I mentioned, though, before we get to the ESPN Insider's piece ranking Washington skill guys, make sure you're tuned in right here on The Fan coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Theismann joined our pal Craig Hoffman over on the Team 980. You can check out the Hoffman Show every day, 4 to 7, over on the Team 980. Joe Theismann with some pretty interesting thoughts on how the Washington Commanders should handle Jaden Daniels during the preseason. We'll let you hear from Joe Theismann coming up in about 20 minutes or so, but a really good conversation between Joe and Craig Hoffman. You can go check that out on the always free Odyssey app. But speaking of the Washington Commanders, as I mentioned, 7 days from now, the rookies for Washington will be reporting to Ashburn. I believe the first official day of training camp practice is Monday, July the 22nd. Now, I want to go ahead and once again say it so no one can accuse me of being inconsistent. For a multitude of different reasons, I think this Washington Commanders team is going to shock the DMV. And the reason I say shock the DMV, because I think it's pretty clear based on some of the commentary we have heard this offseason from some of our favorite national pundits, that the consensus nationally is that Washington is going to be or has a real shot to be this year's Houston Texans. From Lewis Riddick to Dan Orlovsky to Daniel Jeremiah to Rich Eisen, everyone feels as if this Washington group is going to exceed expectations. And a big reason for that is the number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU. He is past the NFL offseason with flying colors. And I don't say that facetiously. Now, I know some of you may ding him, right, for the Brandon Ayuk, you know, screenshot gate is what we're going to call it, him posting a screenshot of Commanders practice on his Instagram. Look, we talked about that on Monday night. I don't kill Jaden Daniels for that, but I do acknowledge that it's something that I'd rather not have happen. That's the best way that I can put it. It is something that I would rather have not happen. But at the end of the day, right, it is what it is. I'll continue to say it until I'm blue in the face. He has passed the NFL offseason with flying colors. You cannot do the offseason better than Jaden Daniels has done. But the real pressure, the real adversity happens coming up in about 11 days or so when they report to Ashburn as a team for training camp. That is when live bullets start to fly. That is when things are for real. That is when we will be able to get a better understanding of if all the hype this offseason is real or not. And I'm one of the first to say it. I am a believer in not just Jaden Daniels, but the 2024 Washington Commanders. I think, and I've said it a bunch of different times already this summer, if you pay attention, this will, to me, be a defense-led team. And I know some of you are like, oh, defense? Well, they drafted a cornerback with a number two overall pick. Defensively, though, I still feel like that is where the majority of the talent lies on this football team. From the interior pass rushers, John Allen and Deron Payne, to the future Hall of Fame linebacker, Bobby Wagner, to the young up-and-coming group at safety. The talent on this Washington Commanders football team is on that defensive side of the football. Now, the big question mark that I think we all have is, one, what happens in the secondary, specifically at outside corner? And then, two, do they have a guy that they trust down in or game in, game out on third and seven plus to say, hey, you know it's a passing down. I know it's a passing down. They know it's a passing down. Now go get the quarterback. That is yet to be seen. And there are a couple of different interesting candidates to be that guy. But as I continue to say about Washington's defense, I don't think it is going to be a one-man approach when it comes to racking up quarterback pressures. I think Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. have shown in their previous stops that there is a litany of different ways that they're going to be able to scheme up pressure. Emphasis on scheming up pressure. It's not just going to be, well, we got four first-rounders up front. Let's run no stunts. Just win your one-on-one battle. Those things are in the past, and it's part of the reason why I'm so optimistic about what they can be on defense. But at the end of the day, this team ultimately is going to go as far as the quarterback Jaden Daniels takes them. And as we mentioned, ESPN NFL Insiders ranked these 32 skill groups in the National Football League. Skill group defined by wide receiver core, tight end unit, and running back unit. The Washington Commanders on this list came in ranked second to last in the NFC East, but 26th overall in terms of their skill group. Say what you want about Washington's skill group, right? Say what you want about Washington skill group. It's going to be hard for me to buy the fact that there are 26 skill groups better than their guys. I just simply don't believe that to be the case. But the explanation here, I think, opens up a completely different conversation here. The first line of it says, in Washington, the main man is Terry McLaurin, who has spent his entire career in quarterback hell. If he had racked up 91 more receiving yards as a rookie, he would boast five consecutive 1,000-yard campaigns. I'm willing to believe Terry McLaurin is a top 15 wide receiver in a vacuum, but there isn't much around him. And I think that's where the conversation gets real, real spicy and real, real interesting. As I continue to say, the benefit, I think, of what Washington has right now on both sides of the football, offensively and defensively, is the element of the unknown. Right? We don't know what Washington is going to look like schematically on offense. We don't know what Washington is going to look like schematically on defense. We have an idea based on the track record of some of the coaches, but at the end of the day, the best coaches in the National Football League are going to adjust their scheme to fit their personnel. That's where I think it gets interesting here. ESPN ranks Washington's skill group, that means wide receiver, tight end, running back combined, as the 26th best group in the National Football League. They ranked them as the 26th best group in the National Football League. I have an issue with the ranking, but I understand the ranking. Some teams that are ahead of Washington that is pretty interesting. New Orleans, the Indianapolis Colts, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Tennessee Titans. All teams that I think we can comfortably say should be in front of Washington. So in reality, I think Washington is pretty fairly ranked. But the big underlying factor in all of this is that I think because Washington has Terry McLaurin, because Washington has Jahan Dotson, because they drafted Luke McCaffrey in the third round, because they have Jaden Daniels, number two overall pick, as their quarterback, there is this widespread belief that Washington's going to be some team this year. And I'm telling you, we can take a random poll on this. You can call in and give your thoughts on it. 1-800-636-1067. A lot of you out there probably think that because of the talent at wide receiver, because of the quarterback being selected second overall, a lot of you probably think Washington is going to come out and throw the football 35, 40 times a football game. I guarantee you that's not the case. Or I guarantee you that's not their intentions. That is not the best case scenario for this group. It's not. Now, a lot of people go back and look at the track record of Cliff Kingsbury. You got to look at Cliff Kingsbury's time in Arizona. You got to take it with a grain of salt. He had DeAndre Hopkins, Marquise Hollywood Brown. There are a bunch of different factors as to why Arizona's offense ran the way it did under Cliff Kingsbury. Here in Washington, I think the strength of this football team, and this is going to catch a lot of people off guard, it's unknown. I'll admit that it's unknown, and we're relying on a bunch of different factors that haven't panned out, quite honestly, to this point. But I think what Washington has at tight end, the talent they have accumulated at tight end through the draft, through free agency, I think that position group, rather, is going to be a lot more relied upon than I think maybe we were initially anticipating. I know back in February, the first free agent signing that happened before free agency officially opened up was Zach Ertz. And I think originally a lot of us thought, oh, Zach Ertz, you know, a veteran, a catch and fall guy the last 2 years, like what is he going to bring to Washington offensively? Based on what we saw in OTAs and mandatory minicamp, Zach Ertz is a part of this offense. Zach Ertz is going to get targets. Zach Ertz is going to score touchdowns if he stays healthy. But I think that tight end unit as a whole, including the rookie Ben Sinnott, including Armani Rogers, who, to a man, folks that you talk to inside of that building and outside are pretty confident in how high Washington is on Armani Rogers. Tore his Achilles last offseason, didn't get to see him this past year. He's healthy now. How does he play into the depth that they have at tight end? I think John Bates, known as a blocker, but one of the better inline blockers in the National Football League, is a guy that is going to be a part of this offense, maybe to a degree that we weren't expecting. I think the tight end unit here in Washington is going to have more production than the wide receiver group. Put it to you this way. I think the tight end and running back room is going to have more production than the wide receiver group. And that's just based on the personnel. There is more talent at tight end and running back than there is wide receiver. Meaning you're going to see more 2-3 tight end sets here. You're going to see Austin Eckler flanked out as a wide receiver with Brian Robinson in the backfield. You're going to see, you know, potentially Armani Rogers, you know, lined up as an inline blocker and then motioned out to be your X. You're going to see that stuff. And I think because of the talent Washington has at the tight end position, and I know some of you are thinking, talent? What do you mean they have talent at tight end? They have names more than talent. I may be willing to agree with you on that. It's more names than talent at this point. But I think internally, they're going to rely upon that group, or they're expecting to rely upon that group a lot more than maybe the general public is thinking. That's just how I feel about it. What was the coin that I phrased that I want to put on the T-shirt? Because I'm telling you, I'm talking about the tight ends, but the running backs are going to get their share too. Austin Eckler's got something to prove as a receiver and as a back. Brian Robinson, going into year number 3, should have a Dorito-sized chip on his damn shoulder. So that group, those two position groups, running back and tight end, going to be a lot more relied upon than maybe we were initially thinking. But here's the coin I wanted to phrase, man. Exotic smash mouth football. That is how Washington will play this year offensively. Exotic smash mouth football. That is what we will see this year from the Washington Commanders. And is it going to be throwing the ball around the yard 35, 40 times per contest? It ain't going to be cute. It ain't going to be sexy. But I think this coaching staff understands, hey, look, from a personnel standpoint, it may make the most sense to go 2 tight ends, 3 tight ends, just because you don't have the depth at receiver that maybe some folks outside your building may think that you have. There's a huge training camp coming up for Jahan Dotson. Huge training camp coming up for Luke McCaffrey, for De'Ami Brown, and for Terry McLaurin, for that matter. I remember when Carson Wentz was first acquired. There was concern during training camp that Terry and Carson did not get off to a fast start with each other. And there was a concern about whether or not Terry was going to get targets. That's what I'm looking for in training camp. Are they going to feed their best weapons? By any means necessary, 17 much touch the football, 8 much touch the football, 30 must touch the football. That is, to me, going to be the big barometer of success offensively. How often are you getting the ball in the hands of your best playmakers? That is what determines, you know, the success of the best offenses in the National Football League. How often can you get the ball in your best players' hands? And last year, in years past, here in Washington, it hasn't been done enough. Terry McLaurin should have 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons as a member of the Commanders. But based on what's happened offensively at quarterback, based on what's happened offensively with play calling, it just hadn't went that way. But as we mentioned, Washington's skill position group ranked 26th in the National Football League by the ESPN Insiders. Too high, too low, fair, not fair. And then 2, how ironic is it to you, or what do you make of the fact that the ESPN Insider pieces rank Washington's skill position group 26th, but every national pundit you talk to a man, feels as if Washington is going to be the surprise team of the 2024 season. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Let's go to our guy Shane. Out in, is this Bulgaria? Can you punch Shane up for me?
What's going on?
What's going on, Shane? You are a traveling circus, my friend.
Hey, look, man, I am. But look, I got to tell you something. I love you to death. And I tell you this all the time, but you talk too much. Man, what are you talking about?
What you mean?
If the tight ends have more production receivers, we'll be picking number one next year. Number one in the draft. Number two, Everybody's talking about the offense. Number one, we better be worried about the defense. We have no corners. No corners. When you thought that the receiver, number one receivers ate us up last year, you telling me St. Juice is going to be our number one? Oh, my gosh. And look, here's what I look at. The quarterbacks we're going to face this year. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, they are licking their chops right now on our secondary. Number one, we have no pass defense, no pass rush whatsoever. We signed a bunch of old free agents. Bobby Wagner's a dog. Don't get me wrong. I love him to death.
For sure.
But we signed him a little too late, I think. Look, he's played that middle linebacker position. I played it as well and high level too. You can only play that position so long before you start falling off. And that's a fact. And we're going to see him start dropping this year. Yeah, he's going to go out there and make 180 tackles. But for what? They're going to be – no, I disagree with you. I think the wide receiver corps is underrated. They just not had somebody get them the damn football.
I agree with that 100%.
And a poor offensive line. Offensive line is absolutely one of the offensive lines I've seen in probably – 10 years in this league. It is a joke. That's one thing Ron Rivera, he had a Hall of Fame left tackle.
And
he had a future Hall of Fame, a future Hall of Fame right guard. He had a hell of offensive line, and he left with the worst offensive line in the league right now. We got people to play in positions they never played them before. But here's the thing. I say we'll be picking only 4 wins again next year. Schedule's brutal. Schedule's brutal.
Shane, you call in overtime a ton, and I always appreciate it. You remember what the hell you just said tonight on July 11th, 2024, that they're going to win 4 games. And I'll let you go on
who's
that.
Gonna be? Look, the first
I'll let you go on
games,
that, my friend.
Who they going to be? Who's the first 6 games? Look at the first 6 games. How many wins you got going in the first 5 games of the season?
Shane, Shane, it was a pleasure talking to you as always,
thank
my brother.
You, brother.
If that is the way that this is going to go, can you drop them for me? If that is the way that this is going to go, and they're only going to win 4 games next year, I'm going to be absolutely insufferable. I think Shane's the only one that thinks that, though. I hope Shane's the only one that thinks that. You all can tell me it's not about this year. It's not about this. Damn that. It is about next year. It is. It is. What matters more than the next game you're about to play? You can kiss my ass with all this rebuild, hogwash, rebuild minutiae. It's loser talk. It's loser talk. You think C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, and the Texans, you think they walked in to training camp last year with the mentality that they were going to be last in the AFC South? You think they walked in with a mentality that, we just got to surround C.J. Stroud with parts? The hell with that. This is a group that has the right mix of people and players within the building. 11 days away. Start a training camp. We will understand and get to see it for ourselves just how good this group could actually be. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor List of Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, as I mentioned earlier, Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Theismann joined a pal Craig Hoffman earlier today over on the Hoffman Show, 4-7 over on the Team 980. He had some pretty interesting thoughts about how the Commanders should handle rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels during the preseason. We'll let you hear from Joe Theismann next. Plus, do we think Washington is putting too much too soon on Jaden Daniels' plate. We'll talk all things Jaden Daniels coming up next on The Fan. Still chugging right along here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. As we've mentioned all show long, coming up at about 8:20, we'll take a national spin around the NFL with our pal JP Acosta, who covers the NFL for SB Nation. We'll get his thoughts on the Washington Commanders. And it feels like, as I started off the show saying, it feels like maybe we are asleep on what the Washington Commanders could be here locally. Right? Our pal JP Finley all the time accuses us all of having Ashburn syndrome, maybe being too bullish on our local 53. But nationally, everybody around the water cooler, everyone that's in the know, seems to feel as if this Washington Commanders football team could potentially be this year's version of last year's Houston Texans, having that rookie quarterback come in and completely galvanize your franchise. And the way that I continue to put it, it knocks the ceiling off of your building. Meaning, if Jaden Daniels is able to come in here and hit the ground running next season, who knows just how good this group could actually be. Now, when it comes to the opinion on the quarterback position, what better opinion to get than a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Our pal Craig Hoffman, host of the Hoffman Show, weekdays 4 to 7 over on our sister station, the Team 980. He was lucky enough to be joined by former Redskins quarterback Joe Theismann earlier this afternoon. Joe Theismann had this to say about just how quickly Washington could turn things around.
It matters to me. It matters to me in year one. It matters to me in year 10. I was a Washington Redskin. You know, now we're the Washington Commanders, and that's what the organization is called. Now we're all of us that have been former players are part of the organization in one way or another because of our association. But to me, to say how they're going to do is, I think, a very difficult thing to do. Somebody says, you're going to hear people say, well, I think they can win 4 games. I think they can win 6 games. I think they can win 8 games. You don't know who's going to be healthy. You don't know how well the young quarterback is going to respond. You don't know if you're going to be able to put together the offense and the defense and the adjustments that are going to be made in such a short period of time. Remember, hey, Craig, these guys don't even get a chance to really work together. You've got hardly any days in training camp. You're never going to see anybody get hit during the preseason. So the first time that they're really going to be involved and have any kind of contact is for the opening game. Jaden Daniels, he isn't and shouldn't play in the preseason. Huh. So if he isn't going to play in the preseason...
Stop it right there, Chris. That's the piece. That's the piece of audio right there that really got me saying, is Joe Theismann just tired on the golf course, just talking and yapping away? I don't think so. First blush, when I saw the quote that Joe Theismann thinks that Jaden Daniels shouldn't participate in the preseason, I thought, Joe, what are you thinking, my brother? But in reality, I think I feel the exact same way. Jaden Daniels should not participate in the preseason for the Washington Commanders. You want to know why? See, what's beautiful about hiring Dan Quinn and that boy wonder Ben Johnson is Dan Quinn's got relationships galore across the National Football League. And because of that, Washington now gets to joint practice with two of the expected powerhouses in the AFC, talking about Miami and the New York Jets. So that is Jaden Daniels' preseason. That is when Washington will get to get a good look at Jaden against other competition outside of the ones wearing the burgundy and gold. Like that to me is an opportunity you can't pass up. And quite frankly, an opportunity that I think is more valuable than playing preseason snaps. There are other things that go into the thought process. It scares the living crap out of me that this offensive line is as big of a question mark as it is right now with a number 2 overall pick expected to be under center. in the preseason, if you play him there, what are you then doing? Exposing him to unnecessary injury risk. Now, I understand I'm one of the first ones to say, hey, look, I'm not changing how I move and how I handle my program based on the potential of injury. That is scary behavior. But at the end of the day, you have to protect the most important asset that exists right now within this franchise, and that is Jaden Daniels. So when you get the opportunity to joint practice against arguably the best defense in the National Football League in Robert Saleh's New York Jets, that's a hell of an opportunity. You get to go up against the Miami Dolphins and their revamped shutdown defense. So you're going to understand long before the first preseason snap whether or not Jaden Daniels has it or not. And I didn't get the opportunity last year to be out in Baltimore to understand and fully see it with my own eyes just how beneficial those joint practices are. But based on what Joe Theismann's been saying, like, no, I wouldn't feel any type of way. I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't be angry if Washington decided to hold Jaden Daniels out during the preseason. Here's another reason for it. Brian Robinson accidentally spilled the tea during the OTA periods, talking about the up-tempo approach that this offense will run with. I continue to say it until I'm blue in the face. One of the biggest advantages that Washington has going into that week one matchup on the road against a veteran Tampa Bay team is that no one knows exactly what to expect schematically on both offense and defense for Washington. Why let the cat out of the bag during the preseason when it doesn't matter? It's food for thought. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Theismann thinks that the Washington Commanders should hold Jaden Daniels out of preseason. Big deal? No big deal. Do you agree or do you disagree? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Chris, if we got it ready, cut number 5, Joe Theismann going into a little bit more detail about why he thinks Jaden Daniels shouldn't play this preseason.
Why would you put your starting quarterback out there? Let's say you got your starting offensive line. They'll probably play a series, maybe. So you give him a little chance to get his feet a little bit wet. But you don't want him risk. You don't want to risk him out there in a preseason game, Craig. They would tear Dan apart if Jaden got. They would.
You're not wrong. You're 1,000% not wrong.
So where's your risk reward? You give him a chance to grow into the position, and this is going to be with every rookie quarterback that starts. Every and any rookie quarterback that starts. I would be surprised if you see them more than a series, possibly two in the preseasons. You know they're not going to play in the third, for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's a big, long period of time before the opener, too, as far as that goes. Do you really risk them out there in the second game? And the other part of it is how am I going to be able to evaluate the guys that I'm looking at to fill out the roster if I don't have them out on the field, and if I put the guys that don't have experience out there with him, I go at the risk of getting him killed. So, it's sort of a quandary, but in my mind, it's no question a decision that I don't take the chance of putting him out on that football field and having something happen to him in the preseason. And I think it's absolutely nuts. And I know that the league is driven by money, but I think it's nuts that you go to 18 games.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. Former Super Bowl winning quarterback of the Washington Redskins, Joe Theismann, says that Jaden Daniels should sit out the preseason for the Washington Commanders. What your calls on that? Do you agree with Joe T or do you disagree? 1-800-636-1067. I'll give more of my thoughts next. This is The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight before we dish things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Topic at hand right now on the listener lines. Joe Theismann, and we'll let you hear the audio here again real quickly. Chris, if you got it ready, cut number 6 here. Joe Theismann giving his thoughts earlier today on the Hoffman Show about just how much Commanders rookie Jaden Daniels should play during the preseason.
Quarterback out there let's say you got your starting offensive line. They'll probably play a series, maybe. So you give him a little chance to get his feet a little bit wet. But you don't want him risk. You don't want to risk him out there in a preseason game. Craig, they would tear Dan apart if Jaden got. They would.
You're not wrong. You're 1,000% not wrong.
And look, I think as Theismann alludes to there, and this is the very real reality of the situation, right? If Jaden Daniels gets hurt in the preseason, we know how this town gets. We know how we are as a fan base. We're going to be looking for somebody to be upset with, for someone to take responsibility and be accountable for the best asset in our franchise getting hurt in a meaningless football game. I think that is what would sting the most. See, when RG3 got hurt, right, it's different. It's with all the marbles on the line. It's a playoff game, right? If you're going to go down with your horses. I get that. For Jaden Daniels to get hurt in a preseason game, I'd be beside myself. You know what I think? I'd think, here we go again. I think this is exactly, it would sum up my fandom perfectly if Jaden Daniels got hurt in the preseason. I'm not wishing that upon him. Personally, I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think he's going to play that much in the preseason. But what Joe Theismann said initially is going to catch people off guard, and people are going to say, well, this is a rookie quarterback. He's got to get reps. What's more important than his development right now? And I agree with all of that. I think playing in the preseason has its benefits for sure, especially, and here's the counter argument here, especially when you consider what Jaden Daniels' biggest issue is as a prospect, or the biggest issue was as a prospect coming out of LSU. What was the number one talking point as to why folks said they wouldn't draft Jaden Daniels if they were in that minority? It was, I don't know, he's a little slight of frame. It's, I don't know, he has trouble protecting himself. Well, I'll tell you this. Let a member of the New York Jets even lay a finger on Jaden Daniels during one of these joint practices, all hell's going to break loose. So in reality, while I do feel like the joint practices with Miami and the Jets are going to be more valuable than the preseason action, I can admit that it's still not real football. And that's the polarizing nature of training camp and how much you can take away from it. Because, yeah, you can get the tweets coming out saying, oh, Jaden Daniels threw a bomb to De'Ami Brown. Oh, Jaden Daniels had a beautiful throw on the run to Terry McLaurin. All of that is fine and dandy. But unless the officials are on the field, they got a TV broadcast in the booth, it ain't real. It ain't real. And I understand preseason is a shell of what it used to be in terms of just how teams look at it. But at the end of the day, in a preseason game, Jaden Daniels would have to protect himself and would have to work on protecting himself. Where else will Jaden Daniels get that opportunity? Because I told you, you let Quinnen Williams get an inside pressure on Tyler Biadasz and even lay a finger on Jaden Daniels. I better see Brandon Coleman knock him upside his damn head. That's the type of energy Washington should have surrounding their young signal caller as they get geared up for these joint practices. Because I tell you what, for all it's worth, for all the hype surrounding training camp, for all the hype surrounding what this team could be, it is going to be so sobering to see these guys participate in the joint practices. I continue to believe you're going to learn a lot more about the 2024 Commanders during those joint practices than you will in the three preseason games that you will see them play. That is just the fact of the matter. And I think it's a grand opportunity. It is. You couldn't have scripted it up better. You get to go against arguably the best defense in the National Football League last year. What better way to find out whether your rookie signal caller has the juice or not? You throw him out there in the fire, and you tell his ass, go cook. Go make plays. Go lead us in a two-minute drive against the Jets defense. Don't be afraid to throw at Sauce Gardner. There's so much you can take away from the joint practices, so much so that it leads me to agree with Joe Theismann. I don't really see the benefit of Jaden Daniels playing in the preseason. The other angle of this that we touched on in the last segment that I want to expound upon here is what I've said all offseason. Their biggest advantage right now, is the fact that no one knows exactly what they're going to be. No one knows exactly what they're going to run on both sides of the football. And I think the longer you can maintain that competitive edge, the better off you'll be for the entirety of the regular season. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Theismann thinks that Jaden Daniels would be best served to sit out the preseason. I don't know how they're going to play it, but I know how this fan base gets. I'm a part of it. I understand just the way all of you think. If they don't roll out Jaden Daniels in the preseason, you all are going to be insufferable. You all are going to be insufferable. I get it. But understand that it may be the best course of action for all the reasons I just listed. How would you feel if he turns an ankle trying to run out of bounds in a preseason game? How'd you feel? How would you feel? It'd take me off.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Still chugging right along here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. As we've mentioned all show long, coming up at about 8:20, we'll take a national spin around the NFL with our pal JP Acosta, who covers the NFL for SB Nation. We'll get his thoughts on the Washington Commanders. And it feels like, as I started off the show saying, it feels like maybe we are asleep on what the Washington Commanders could be here locally. Right? Our pal JP Finley all the time accuses us all of having Ashburn syndrome, maybe being too bullish on our local 53. But nationally, everybody around the water cooler, everyone that's in the know, seems to feel as if this Washington Commanders football team could potentially be this year's version of last year's Houston Texans, having that rookie quarterback come in and completely galvanize your franchise. And the way that I continue to put it, it knocks the ceiling off of your building, meaning if Jaden Daniels is able to come in here and hit the ground running next season, who knows just how good this group could actually be. Now, when it comes to the opinion on the quarterback position, what better opinion to get than a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Our pal Craig Hoffman, host of the Hoffman Show, weekdays 4 to 7 over on our sister station, the Team 980. He was lucky enough to be joined by former Redskins quarterback Joe Theismann earlier this afternoon. Joe Theismann had this to say about just how quickly Washington could turn things around.
It matters to me. It matters to me in year one. It matters to me in year 10. I was a Washington Redskin. You know, now we're the Washington Commanders, and that's what the organization is called. Now we're all of us that have been former players are part of the organization in one way or another because of our association. But to me, to say how they're going to do is, I think, a very difficult thing to do. Somebody says, you're going to hear people say, well, I think they can win 4 games. I think they can win 6 games. I think they can win 8 games. You don't know who's going to be healthy. You don't know how well the young quarterback is going to respond. You don't know if you're going to be able to put together the offense and the defense and the adjustments that are going to be made in such a short period of time. Remember, hey, Craig, these guys don't even get a chance to really work together. You've got hardly any days in training camp. You're never going to see anybody get hit during the preseason. So the first time that they're really going to be involved and have any kind of contact is for the opening game. Jaden Daniels, he isn't and shouldn't play in the preseason. Huh. So if he isn't going to play in the preseason...
Stop it right there, Chris. That's the piece. That's the piece of audio right there that really got me saying, is Joe Theismann just tired on the golf course, just talking and yapping away? I don't think so. First blush, when I saw the quote that Joe Theismann thinks that Jaden Daniels shouldn't participate in the preseason, I thought, huh? Joe, what are you thinking, my brother? But in reality, I think I feel the exact same way. Jaden Daniels should not participate in the preseason for the Washington Commanders. You want to know why? See, what's beautiful about hiring Dan Quinn and that boy wonder Ben Johnson is Dan Quinn's got relationships galore across the National Football League. And because of that, Washington now gets to joint practice with two of the expected powerhouses in the AFC, talking about Miami and the New York Jets. So that is Jaden Daniels' preseason. That is when Washington will get to get a good look at Jaden against other competition outside of the ones wearing the burgundy and gold. Like that to me is an opportunity you can't pass up. And quite frankly, an opportunity that I think is more valuable than playing preseason snaps. There are other things that go into the thought process. It scares the living crap out of me that this offensive line is as big of a question mark as it is right now with a number 2 overall pick expected to be under center. In the preseason, if you play him there, what are you then doing? Exposing him to unnecessary injury risk. Now, I understand I'm one of the first ones to say, hey, look, I'm not changing how I move and how I handle my program based on the potential of injury. That's scary behavior. But at the end of the day, you have to protect the most important asset that exists right now within this franchise, and that is Jaden Daniels. So when you get the opportunity to joint practice against arguably the best defense in the National Football League in Robert Saleh's New York Jets, that's a hell of an opportunity. You get to go up against the Miami Dolphins and their revamped shutdown defense. So you're going to understand long before the first preseason snap whether or not Jaden Daniels has it or not. And I didn't get the opportunity last year to be out in Baltimore to understand and fully see it with my own eyes just how beneficial those joint practices are. But based on what Joe Theismann's saying, like, no, I wouldn't feel any type of way. I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't be angry if Washington decided to hold Jaden Daniels out during the preseason. Here's another reason for it. Brian Robinson accidentally spilled the tea during the OTA periods, talking about the up-tempo approach that this offense will run with. I continue to say it until I'm blue in the face. One of the biggest advantages that Washington has going into that week one matchup on the road against a veteran Tampa Bay team is that no one knows exactly what to expect schematically on both offense and defense for Washington. Why let the cat out of the bag during the preseason when it doesn't matter? It's food for thought. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Theismann thinks that the Washington Commanders should hold Jaden Daniels out of preseason. Big deal? No big deal. Do you agree or do you disagree? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Chris, if we got it ready, cut number 5, Joe Theismann going into a little bit more detail about why he thinks Jaden Daniels shouldn't play this preseason.
Why would you put your starting quarterback out there? Let's say you got your starting offensive line. They'll probably play a series, maybe. So you give him a little chance to get his feet a little bit wet. But you don't want him risk. You don't want to risk him out there in a preseason game. Craig, they would tear Dan apart if Jaden got. They would.
You're not wrong. You're 1,000% not wrong.
So where's your risk reward? You give him a chance to grow into the position, and this is going to be with every rookie quarterback that starts, every and any rookie quarterback that starts. I would be surprised if you see them more than a series, possibly two in the preseasons. You know he's not going to. They're not going to play in the third for sure, absolutely. And there's a big long period of time before the opener too, as far as that goes. You know, do you really risk him out there in the second game? And the other part of it is how am I going to be able to evaluate the guys that I'm looking at to fill out the roster, if I don't have them out on the field, and if I put the guys that don't have experience out there with him, I go at the risk of getting him killed. So, it's sort of a quandary, but in my mind, it's no question a decision that I don't take the chance of putting him out on that football field and having something happen to him in the preseason. And I think it's absolutely nuts. And I know that the league is driven by money. But I think it's nuts that you go to 18 games.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. Former Super Bowl winning quarterback of the Washington Redskins, Joe Theismann, says that Jaden Daniels should sit out the preseason for the Washington Commanders. We want your calls on that. Do you agree with Joe T or do you disagree? 1-800-636-1067. I'll give more of my thoughts next. This is The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight before we dish things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Topic at hand right now on the listener lines. Joe Theismann, and we'll let you hear the audio here again real quickly. Chris, if you got it ready, cut number 6 here. Joe Theismann given his thoughts earlier today on the Hoffman Show about just how much Commanders rookie Jaden Daniels should play during the preseason.
Quarterback out there. Let's say you got your starting offensive line. They'll probably play a series, maybe. So you give him a little chance to get his feet a little bit wet. But you don't want him risk. You don't want to risk him out there in a preseason game. Craig, they would tear Dan apart. if Jaden got, they would.
You're not wrong. You're 1,000% not wrong.
And look, I think as Theismann alludes to there, and this is the very real reality of the situation, right? If Jaden Daniels gets hurt in the preseason, we know how this town gets. We know how we are as a fan base. We're going to be looking for somebody to be upset with, for someone to take responsibility and be accountable for the best asset in our franchise getting hurt in a meaningless football game. I think that is what would sting the most. See, when RG3 got hurt, right, it's different. It's with all the marbles on the line. It's a playoff game, right? If you're going to go down with your horses. I get that. For Jaden Daniels to get hurt in a preseason game, I'd be beside myself. You know what I think? I'd think, here we go again. I think this is exactly, it would sum up my fandom perfectly if Jaden Daniels got hurt in the preseason. I'm not wishing that upon him. Personally, I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think he's going to play that much in the preseason. But what Joe Theismann said initially is going to catch people off guard, and people are going to say, well, this is a rookie quarterback. He's got to get reps. What's more important than his development right now? And I agree with all of that. I think playing in the preseason has its benefits for sure, especially, and here's the counter argument here, especially when you consider what Jaden Daniels' biggest issue is as a prospect or the biggest issue was as a prospect coming out of LSU? What was the number one talking point as to why folks said they wouldn't draft Jaden Daniels if they were in that minority? It was, I don't know, he's a little slight of frame. It's, I don't know, he has trouble protecting himself. Well, I'll tell you this. Let a member of the New York Jets even lay a finger on Jaden Daniels during one of these joint practices, all hell's going to break loose. So in reality, while I do feel like the joint practices with Miami and the Jets are going to be more valuable than the preseason action, I can admit that it's still not real football. And that's the polarizing nature of training camp and how much you can take away from it. Because, yeah, you can get the tweets coming out saying, oh, Jaden Daniels threw a bomb to De'Ami Brown. Oh, Jaden Daniels had a beautiful throw on the run to Terry McLaurin. All of that is fine and dandy. But unless the officials are on the field, they got a TV broadcast in the booth, it ain't real. It ain't real. And I understand preseason is a shell of what it used to be in terms of just how teams look at it. But at the end of the day, in a preseason game, Jaden Daniels would have to protect himself and would have to work on protecting himself. Where else will Jaden Daniels get that opportunity? Because I told you, you let Quinnen Williams get an inside pressure on Tyler Biadasz and even lay a finger on Jaden Daniels. I better see Brandon Coleman knock him upside his damn head. That's the type of energy Washington should have surrounding their young signal caller as they get geared up for these joint practices. Because I tell you what, for all it's worth, for all the hype surrounding training camp, for all the hype surrounding what this team could be, it is going to be so sobering to see these guys participate in the joint practices. I continue to believe you're going to learn a lot more about the 2024 Commanders during those joint practices than you will in the three preseason games that you will see them play. That is just the fact of the matter. And I think it's a grand opportunity. It is. You couldn't have scripted it up better. You get to go against arguably the best defense in the National Football League last year. What better way to find out whether your rookie signal caller has the juice or not? You throw him out there in the fire, and you tell his ass, go cook. Go make plays. Go lead us in a two-minute drive against the Jets defense. Don't be afraid to throw at Sauce Gardner. There's so much you can take away from the joint practices, so much so that it leads me to agree with Joe Theismann. I don't really see the benefit of Jaden Daniels playing in the preseason. The other angle of this that we touched on in the last segment that I want to expound upon here is what I've said all offseason. Their biggest advantage right now, is the fact that no one knows exactly what they're going to be. No one knows exactly what they're going to run on both sides of the football. And I think the longer you can maintain that competitive edge, the better off you'll be for the entirety of the regular season. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Theismann thinks that Jaden Daniels would be best served to sit out the preseason. I don't know how they're going to play it, but I know how this fan base gets. I'm a part of it. I understand just the way all of you think. If they don't roll out Jaden Daniels in the preseason, you all are going to be insufferable. You all are going to be insufferable. I get it. Understand that it may be the best course of action for all the reasons I just listed. How would you feel if he turns an ankle trying to run out of bounds in a preseason game? How'd you feel? How would you feel? it ticked me off. Hindsight is 20/20. I know the phrase. You can't, and look, I said it earlier, you cannot make decisions based off of injury concerns. I just don't think that is a good precedent to set within your program. Because if the coaches are thinking like that, then the players are thinking like that. And anyone that's ever laced them up and participated in the organized car crash that is football at any level, you understand if you go out scared of getting hurt, you're going to get hurt. That's it. That's the way it goes. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Theismann said earlier today on the Hoffman Show that he thinks that rookie quarterback Jayden Daniels will be best served to sit out of the preseason. Do you agree with Joe Theismann or do you disagree? Let's go to PJ and Reston. What's going on, PJ?
Hey, happy day to everybody. I essentially agree with both you and Joe. So what I kind of wish and I hope happens that instead of having, you know, like I think right now, what is it, like 3 preseason games? Mm-hmm. What I think would be the smarter thing for the NFL to do would be to get rid of the 3 preseason games, have 3 preseason organized scrimmage, something between like a scrimmage and a preseason game, where basically each team gets 90 plays. And, you know, they, you could get like 10 plays on offense. You can do whatever you want, whether you want to run it 10 times in a row, throw it. Then the other team gets the ball for 10 days and for 10 plays. You keep doing it because preseason should not be about trying to do like a regular game. It's more about experimenting with certain things. So if they want to take, you know, if the Commanders want to take, you know, their first 10 plays and do all like sweeps or something and bootlegs, just
that's how it's similar to how it's run in a high school and college setting.
And I think that would serve the NFL better, both for player safety and just for getting sure. Everybody ready for the games.
PJ, I appreciate the call as always. I totally agree. I don't know if that format necessarily to me is what's best because it's not realistic. But I continue to believe, and this is why, you know, folks were, you know, so giddy about the opportunity to joint practice with Baltimore last summer. It's just different. It's just different. You can control the outcomes. You can put them and judge them in different scenarios. And especially when you're talking about a young signal caller, I want to see, you know, how Jayden Daniels fares in third and medium situations. I want to see how Jayden Daniels fares in the two-minute situation. I want to see how Jayden Daniels fares when he's got the ball at the opponent's 40 and there's 15 seconds left and you got to get in field goal range. That stuff you cannot necessarily simulate in a preseason contest. So I don't know whether we'll ever see the National Football League completely do away from the preseason, because let's just be real, right? Money rules everything. The TV revenue that the NFL brings in via preseason games, they're never, ever not going to have preseason games. That's just not a reality. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. How would you feel if the Washington Commanders decided to sit Jayden Daniels for the entirety of the preseason? We'll continue to take your calls on that. Plus, how confident are you in Washington's skill guys? The Commanders' skill position group ranked 27th in the National Football League based on an ESPN Insider's piece. Do you think Washington has a good enough skill group to allow Jayden Daniels to hit the ground running? Plus, do you think Washington maybe is putting too much on Jayden Daniels' plate too soon? Your calls next on The Fan.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight before we dish things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Topic at hand right now on the listener lines. Joe Theismann, and we'll let you hear the audio here again real quickly. Chris, if you got it ready, cut number six here. Joe Theismann giving his thoughts earlier today on the Hoffman Show about just how much Commanders rookie Jaden Daniels should play during the preseason.
Quarterback out there, let's say you got your starting offensive line. They'll probably play a series, maybe. So you give him a little chance to get his feet a little bit wet. But you don't want him risk. You don't want to risk him out there in a preseason game. Craig, they would tear Dan apart if Jaden got. They would.
You're not wrong. You're 1,000% not wrong.
And look, I think as Theismann alludes to there, and this is the very real reality of the situation, right? If Jaden Daniels gets hurt in the preseason, we know how this town gets. We know how we are as a fan base. We're going to be looking for somebody to be upset with, for someone to take responsibility and be accountable for the best asset in our franchise getting hurt in a meaningless football game. I think that is what would sting the most. See, when RG3 got hurt, right, it's different. It's with all the marbles on the line. It's a playoff game, right? If you're going to go down with your horses. I get that. For Jaden Daniels to get hurt in a preseason game, I'd be beside myself. You know what I think? I'd think, here we go again. I think this is exactly, it would sum up my fandom perfectly if Jaden Daniels got hurt in the preseason. I'm not wishing that upon him. Personally, I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think he's going to play that much in the preseason. But what Joe Theismann said initially is going to catch people off guard. And people are going to say, well, this is a rookie quarterback. He's got to get reps. What's more important than his development right now? And I agree with all of that. I think playing in the preseason has its benefits for sure, especially, and here's the counter argument here, especially when you consider what Jaden Daniels' biggest issue is as a prospect, or the biggest issue was as a prospect coming out of LSU. What was the number one talking point as to why folks said they wouldn't draft Jaden Daniels if they were in that minority? It was, I don't know, he's a little slight of frame. It's, I don't know, he has trouble protecting himself. Well, I'll tell you this. Let a member of the New York Jets even lay a finger on Jaden Daniels during one of these joint practices, all hell's going to break loose. So in reality, while I do feel like the joint practices with Miami and the Jets are going to be more valuable than the preseason action, I can admit that it's still not real football. And that's the polarizing nature of training camp and how much you can take away from it. Because, yeah, you can get the tweets coming out saying, oh, Jaden Daniels threw a bomb to De'Ami Brown. Oh, Jaden Daniels had a beautiful throw on the run to Terry McLaurin. All of that is fine and dandy. But unless the officials are on the field, they got a TV broadcast in the booth, it ain't real. It ain't real. And I understand preseason is a shell of what it used to be in terms of just how teams look at it. But at the end of the day, in a preseason game, Jaden Daniels would have to protect himself and would have to work on protecting himself. Where else will Jaden Daniels get that opportunity? Because I told you, you think you let Quinnen Williams get an inside pressure on Tyler Biadasz and even lay a finger on Jaden Daniels. I better see Brandon Coleman knock him upside his damn head. That's the type of energy Washington should have surrounding their young signal caller as they get geared up for these joint practices. Can I tell you what? For all it's worth, for all the hype surrounding training camp, for all the hype surrounding what this team could be, it is going to be so sobering to see these guys participate in the joint practices. I continue to believe You're going to learn a lot more about the 2024 Commanders during those joint practices than you will in the three preseason games that you will see them play. That is just the fact of the matter. And I think it's a grand opportunity. It is. You couldn't have scripted it up better. You get to go against arguably the best defense in the National Football League last year. What better way to find out whether your rookie signal caller has the juice or not? You throw him out there in the fire, and you tell his ass, go cook. Go make plays. Go lead us in a two-minute drive against the Jets defense. Don't be afraid to throw at Sauce Gardner. There's so much you could take away from the joint practices, so much so that it leads me to agree with Joe Theismann. I don't really see the benefit of Jaden Daniels playing in the preseason. The other angle of this that we touched on in the last segment that I want to expound upon here is what I've said all offseason. Their biggest advantage right now, is the fact that no one knows exactly what they're going to be. No one knows exactly what they're going to run on both sides of the football. And I think the longer you can maintain that competitive edge, the better off you'll be for the entirety of the regular season. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Theismann thinks that Jaden Daniels would be best served to sit out the preseason. I don't know how they're going to play it, but I know how this fan base gets. I'm a part of it. I understand just the way all of you think. If they don't roll out Jaden Daniels in the preseason, you all are going to be insufferable. You all are going to be insufferable. I get it. But understand that it may be the best course of action for all the reasons I just listed. How would you feel if he turns an ankle trying to run out of bounds in a preseason game? How'd you feel? How would you feel? It ticked me off. Hindsight is 20/20. I know the phrase. You can't, and look, I said it earlier, you cannot make decisions based off of injury concerns. I just don't think that is a good precedent to set within your program. Because if the coaches are thinking like that, then the players are thinking like that. And anyone that's ever laced them up and participated in the organized car crash that is football at any level, you understand if you go out scared of getting hurt, you're going to get hurt. That's it. That's the way it goes. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Theismann said earlier today on the Hoffman Show that he thinks that rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels will be best served to sit out of the preseason. Do you agree with Joe Theismann or do you disagree? Let's go to PJ and rest. What's going on, PJ?
Hey, happy day to everybody.
How you doing?
I essentially agree with both you and Joe. So what I kind of wish and I hope happens that instead of having, you know, like I think right now, what is it, like three preseason games? Mm-hmm. What I think would be the smarter thing for the NFL to do would be to get rid of the three preseason games, have three preseason organized scrimmage, something between like a scrimmage and a preseason game, where basically each team gets 90 plays. And, you know, you could get like 10 plays on offense. You can do whatever you want, whether you want to run it 10 times in a row, throw it. Then the other team gets the ball for 10 days and for 10 plays. You keep doing it because preseason should not be about trying to do like a regular game. It's more about experimenting with certain things. So if they want to take, you know, if the Commanders want to take, you know, their first 10 plays and do all like sweeps or something and bootlegs,
it's similar to how it's run in a high school and college setting.
And I think that would serve the NFL better, both for player safety and just for getting everybody ready for the games.
PJ, I appreciate the call as always. I totally agree. I don't know if that format necessarily to me is what's best because it's not realistic. But I continue to believe, and this is why, you know, folks were, you know, so giddy about the opportunity to joint practice with Baltimore last summer. It's just different. It's just different. You can control the outcomes. You can put them and judge them in different scenarios. And especially when you're talking about a young signal caller, I want to see, you know, how Jaden Daniels fares in third and medium situations. I want to see how Jaden Daniels fares in the two-minute situation. I want to see how Jaden Daniels fares when he's got the ball at the opponent's 40 and there's 15 seconds left and you got to get in field goal range. That stuff you cannot necessarily simulate in a preseason contest. So I don't know whether we'll ever see the National Football League completely do away from the preseason, because let's just be real, right? Money rules everything. The TV revenue that the NFL brings in via preseason games, they're never, ever not going to have preseason games. That's just not a reality. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. How would you feel if the Washington Commanders decided to sit Jaden Daniels for the entirety of the preseason? We'll continue to take your calls on that. Plus, how confident are you in Washington's skill guys? The Commanders' skill position group ranked 27th in the National Football League based on an ESPN Insider's piece. Do you think Washington has a good enough skill group to allow Jaden Daniels to hit the ground running? Plus, do you think Washington maybe is putting too much on Jaden Daniels' plate too soon? Your calls next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.